stand for the reading of God's Word, if you are able, from Ephesians chapter 4. I, Paul, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned in Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he might have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that the remainder of this time speak to this vessel to accomplish your good purpose and your good pleasure. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And then you may be seated. Joel, thank you for that reading. You got some pretty amazing readers in this church. I can systematically go through a lot of people to do that work. I know of one who can't, so we have them do it. It's a beautiful thing. The title of the message is Unity in Spirit. Unity in the Spirit by Design and Purpose. I could spend a lot of time on this first verse, and it would speak a lot of meat to all of us. But it begins with I. This is Paul speaking from prison. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Okay. Different ways to be prisoner. I can be prisoner to the world, or I can be prisoner to Christ. Those are our options. You are a prisoner to a false god or the world, or you're a prisoner to Christ. Paul is a prisoner to Christ. If you think that you are your own man or your own woman, you are mistaken. You are a prisoner to one of those two entities. That's a reality. So if we think that we're our own person, you can lose that thought right now, because I'll tell you who your king is. It's King Satan, if you're apart from God. Or it's King Jesus. Paul is declaring that he is a prisoner, which is true. He is actually in a prison, but that he is also a prisoner of God. The prison, being in prison, it's interesting that while from prison, he is writing a letter that blesses us some 2,000 years later. What kind of a prisoner is that? It's one who is also a prisoner to God. Amen. That there is exciting. You want to spend some more time on it? We can. Okay, so he's a prisoner of the Lord. He says, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. To beseech is to really urge, to encourage you to be all that you are in who you are prisoner to Christ. Be all that you are in Him. Walk with a confidence that one would have who has Christ as their King. That's what he's doing. And he's asking us to do the same thing. He's actually speaking very directly to the church at Ephesus in this letter to them. But it's for us today. Walk worthy of the calling that he gave us. What is the calling that he gave us? It goes back to the title of the message. The calling is that there is unity in the Spirit. And there's a purpose, a design and an instruction and a purpose to what God is doing. So we walk in the unity of the Spirit in the body of Christ with the purpose of fulfilling the body of Christ. That's it. That's our purpose. That's our mission. That's what we're called to do. Who's it for? It's for everybody. It's for everybody. My mission is for everybody. We have missionaries that we support in this church. And it's very important that we do that. But there are missionaries sitting in the seats right now that's supposed to be about the business of adding to the unity of the body of Christ and stepping out and speaking life to those who are not in the body yet. That's our mission. That's our co-mission with God. As we go out and we share who we are, who we know, and why they need to know what we know. And if I get a little fired up about it, it's because I don't know that we really do that. I think we struggle to do that. Sometimes we don't act like He's our King. Sometimes we know of Him, but we don't know Him. So what's the job of the church? To bring about unity in the church. What does unity look like? It looks like us coming together without divisions, without factions, without agendas, but that we operate in the Spirit of God. We come together in the Spirit of God for a purpose. For a purpose, to grow. Why do we do life groups? Why are we making such a big deal about life groups? Because it's about us growing. It's about us learning His Word, so we learn who He is at a better rate, with a better intensity, with a better understanding. That's why we do what we do in this church. Why do we preach God's Word? It's the only real way to get to know who He is. Why do I need to know who He is? Let's go back to the beginning to bring about unity in the church. Nobody wants to hear your arguments or your complaints or the color is wrong or whatever. That doesn't bring about unity. That brings about division. Nobody wants you to go pray for somebody who didn't give you permission to speak of what you're praying about. Why? Because that brings about division. Do the things that bring about unity in the church. Speak life to people. We're going to get into some of this, but I just want to just get that out in the front right away. That we don't operate with selfish motives. We operate with God in words. So I'm going to just ask somebody, if we could turn the lights on. I want to see some eyeballs when I'm talking. If somebody could turn up the lights, that would be really good. All right, that's division right there. What you're telling me is it's too dark in here and you don't like it. I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you it's too light. I can't see anybody. But we do the things that bring about unity in the church because we have a great purpose in front of us. And when we do it together, we're more efficient and more effective. People watch who you don't know are watching. People see how you live when you don't think they're looking. People are aware when you don't think they're aware. So when we're operating in the body of Christ, as the body ought to work, in love and in encouragement, with the purposes of God, we have an impact on the world. And what I just gave you in those few statements is really what the mission of our church is. And then we try to reduce ignorance and increase understanding wherever you start from, wherever I start from. That's the business of this church. It's the business of Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, and he's going to prepare them how to do that. Here's the foundational piece now. He says, who is worthy? Walk worthy of the calling that was given to you. And that's for all of us, that we walk worthy because we know who we are and whose we are. That's all of us. We have to believe that. We know who we are and whose we are. In Jesus' name. We get down to verse 4. Oh, I got to come back. There is a big deal about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Thank you, Jesus. One of the things we have to do before we can bring about this unity in this beautiful, healthy place is we have to have some understanding about what we're doing in this church. So if I look at this population out here, I know that there's about 70 or 80 people, maybe, that attend on a Thursday night. What's our purpose and our goal of Thursday night? It's to help us who struggle to get to a place where we can become more effective in Christ. Now, we initiate those things by we say, hi, my name is Mike. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with trust and I struggle with control. Just messed me up. We struggle with trust and we struggle with control. I do. And when I'm doing that, I'm not as effective or efficient in operating in this commission that God has given me. So we help each other get through that. But if I wallow in my issue, I'm out of balance. I do not live in that issue. I am having, I'm going to use the word victory in that issue. I'm not completed. I'm not perfect. If I say I don't sin, I'm calling God a liar because he said I am. But I am growing. I am growing, and I'm getting better. So, brokenness without victory is out of balance. If I go to the other end of the continuum, and I have victory with no brokenness, I'm out of balance. I'm ineffective because I'm missing some things. I think I've fully arrived. I'm there. No, I'm not. So we have to have that understanding. We have to bring this church to a place of balance. It cannot be divisive. Okay, I want to go back to the continuum. Broken, no victory, out of balance. Victory, no broken, out of balance. The church of God, this church, Living Hope Church, coming together to dig into God's word together, to grow together, hopefully in a life group. That's a good place to start. Maybe in Celebrate Recovery, another good place to start. But when we begin to learn the foundations of who we are and who we're in, when we begin to grow in that, we become a balanced body. And we encourage those on the other ends of the continuum. It's huge. It's huge. Division is not of God. Diversity? That's of God. Division? No. He's about unity. And he always begins with unity in the brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ coming together. Same purpose, same goal, same objective. Paul is doing this in Ephesus. And he is up against insurmountable odds, just like the church is today. And he begins to explain a little bit about who this God is. If we're ignorant to who God is, we can't worship him right, we don't understand him, we don't trust him, we don't believe in him, we don't move in him. So who is he? First off, he's triune. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope. All three members of the Trinity are mentioned there in those phrase, that phrase right there. That's a triune phrase of our God. Then he goes to verse 5 and he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All three members of the Trinity are once again in those words. He does it one more time in verse 6. He says, one God and Father, of all who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And he, once again, for the third time, which is really the ninth time, speaks to the Trinity of God, always at work. Just like in creation. Just like in creation. The Trinity has always been at work in a perfect unity. And all that brings about perfect unity. And we're to emulate that. We're made in that image. We're to be that. Isaiah 6:63, I think it is. I better look. Just better, 6:3, I'm sorry. You think I'm looking. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Who's holy? God's holy. Holy, holy, holy. God the Father is holy. Jesus, His Son, is holy. The Spirit of God is even called the Holy Spirit. Isaiah understood the Trinity back in his day. And when the angels in heaven begin to sing, holy, 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 we're stating to the essence of who God is. His completeness in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His completeness in being set apart from that which is evil, that which is sin, that which is less than God. Holy, holy, holy. Holy. Holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Okay. That was just a teaser. James wanted me to join his group last night, which did a really good job, him and the Fishers, and I had to tell him no. How does he go about doing this? He begins to develop our character. Part of his design is building our character. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I am in a process of where God is changing me. That I operate by the fruits of the Spirit instead of the fruit of my flesh. The fruit of my flesh is not good. I know me. It's not good. And if I step away from walking in the Spirit, I begin to walk in the flesh. And I sow seeds to my flesh instead of seeds to the Spirit. And there's consequences to that. I fall farther away from God. I stop hearing from Him. I even stop caring. And what do I start to care about? The things I sow seeds into, the flesh. The fun things. The things I think are everlasting that are for 2 hours. Simple things that have no eternal value. And they just bide my time. They become like a drug that puts a veil over my eyes to the truth of what the truth ought to be. Christ. And Him crucified. Him died. Him buried. Him resurrected. And Him coming back again. In Jesus' name. The church is not complete. The purpose in this message is to bring the unity of the body, the Jew and the Gentile, together in one body. And that job is not done yet. The Jew has not come to Christ. Now, some have. The Messianics have, right? But overall, the Jewish world has not come to Christ. They are part of the body. They will be part of the body of Christ. But that work is unfinished. But I know God's plan. When He calls the church up, He's still coming back for the Jew. In fact, He's going to send 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And you'll hear about that term in a bit. To go what? Preach the gospel, the good news, to the Jew. Because they need to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray for them. That's why we pray for them every every Sunday, we pray for our friend Israel that they would come to know who God is, to know who Jesus is, to know who the Holy Spirit is. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 10:12 says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." In verse 14 it says, "But how are men going to call upon Him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." This is a challenge to the church. We like to think it's what the apostles were supposed to be doing, but this is for you and me. How will they know unless you and me tell them? How will they know? Jim, did Paul give you a book? Probably. Read that book. All right, I want you to read that book that Jim gave you. I'm sorry, not Jim, that Paul gave you. That's what I'm doing. I'm handing out books on the golf course to ease my guilt for being on the golf course. No, really. Handing out books on the golf course so that people can hear, because in the book, there's an opportunity for somebody to see who Jesus is. And it's a really cool way of doing it and how it links it with golf. That is such a simple thing, and I'm excited to do it. Because it's simple. It doesn't have to be hard to share about Christ. It can be fun. It can be a joy. I still haven't gotten there yet, but I got to get to Lottie Love because I know that the gospel is being presented at Lottie Love. I want to go and have fun. I want to eat rocks and I want to have fun sharing the gospel. That's what I want to do. It can be done. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. But we are called. There's no doubt about that. It's our purpose. Number two, in order to do that, God gives us spiritual gifts. Verse 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the fullness," that is the word fullness, "of Christ's gift." Jesus said in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." So what's the first gift that's given to us as believers? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I had to go away." We're going to get to some verses about ascending, descending, ascending. But I'm going to give you the bottom line of it. Pastor Jerry used to say this all the time. The sun went up, the Spirit came down, and we were called to go out. That's the whole, that's it in a nutshell right there. That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus said, "I had to go up. I had to leave that I could send Him," what? The gift. The gift that matters. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. What comes from the gift? The fivefold offices come from the gift. The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What comes out of those gifts? People that are given gifts of another kind, of another level, if you will. A higher level. Kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. Begins to give us encouragement. And here's the greatest gift of all, servanthood. We're going to speak next week in Ephesians 5. We're going to talk about that word servanthood a little bit. We have two men sitting at the Last Supper with Jesus saying, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" And basically what they're saying is, "Can I sit at your right hand?" And Jesus says, basically, he says, "You don't get it. You're not sitting at my right hand. To be the greatest in the kingdom, you must become the least. You must become the servant of all." Isn't that what Jesus did? He came to serve. He said, "I did not come to be served. I came to serve." Apostle sounds like a big deal. A lot of people want to be apostles or prophets or gifts of the fivefold office. That's fine. The Bible says to desire all the gifts. But how about these other gifts, which in His view are the big ones? Can you serve? Get to know our deacons here. Our deacons do that. Our deacons serve week after week after week, and they're like ninjas as they're serving, you don't see them. They're in the shadows, but it's a clean shadow because they were there. Smells good because they were there. They're serving all over the place. Getting communion ready. Making sure this place is ready to work. To rock and roll. We have elders. Their ministry is servanthood. And they're elders. That's a big deal. They're not looking for badges or trophies or awards. They're in positions to make decisions to serve better. You got one in the back right now. What's he doing? Serving. Working the sound. And he's not shutting me off. Thank you, Jesus. What about that gift? Luke 11:13 says, if then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What's the gift? The gift is the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll pull back just a second. And I'm going to honor them at the end, but I just want the men in this church who are fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, to stand right where you're at. Can you do that? Keep standing. The reason why I'm doing speaking to the men right now is because everything I'm talking about is for the edification and the building up of the church. Right? That's what we're talking about here. But for each one of these men, you are the head of your church, the family. The family is a church. Should be doing the same things that we're doing in the church, but better, deeper, and more. So right now, with every father speaking, every grandfather here in this room, I pray God's blessing upon you, that He would anoint you for the position He's called you to. And I come against anything that would diminish your role as a father or a grandfather, whether it come from culture or whether it come from within. I come against disunity and division in Jesus' name. And I pray for the unity of your families and the sweet fellowship of peace that comes from being right in right order with God. I pray that now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Man, you'll see, I'm going to call you up here at the end, but for right now, you need to know that. We have to be prepared for the things that come against the things God has called us to do. When I begin to act as a pastor, and the other pastors begin to act in their role as pastors, things come against them. That's just the way it works. When you're operating as a father or grandfather in your home, things come against you. Now, it's not dismissing what mothers and grandmothers do. That's not my point. Things come against you. Some mothers in this place are playing dual role. They're fathers and mothers because of circumstance. I'm speaking right now. Things will come against the diminishing of the father. And that's happening very, very prevalent in the world today. And I'm here to say, walk worthy of the calling that God has given you in your role as a father. Don't detour from it. Don't get weak-kneed, don't get feeble, and don't get beat up, and don't get trampled on. Walk worthy of the calling. Why? Because your family depends on it. And to be really honest with you, the church depends on it. There's good men in this church. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just speak a little bit more about gifts, and I'll see if I can bring this across a little quicker. Romans 12:4 says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. I'm going to talk more about that next week. By the way, remember I said, Sally, can you remember function, same function? No, I forgot the thing that I was going to say that was going to take me off the course of what I was going to say. No, before that. Oh, man. I said that I could speak on, I could pick topics throughout the Word of God. And it would cause people in here at every level, in every place, in every walk of life to be hurt or stumbled or be offended by it. The Bible says that the Word of God is a stumbling block to the unbeliever. Well, I think it has an impact on the weak believer. It's just my opinion. You can study on that if you want. But I can pick any issue, and God speaks about a lot of them. And if I talk about that issue, that's it. There's going to be emails. Thank goodness the emails are coming with names on them so I can respond to them. But people get offended easily. It's okay. It's okay. It hurts to hear things that I have to change or that are not in line with God's word. And then I'll use a word that I learned from my mentor, talk to God about it. I am just a messenger. You have an issue with alcohol? You get mad at me because I talk against the consequences of alcohol? Get mad at the Word. Learn the Word and see what God says about it. Don't just go by what I say. If I talk about your sex issues, current thing going on in the church. Ooh, we have a kid in here today. I want every kid in here to go like this for a second. Sex issues. I'm going to offend somebody. I'm going to offend somebody. Why did God talk about those things? Because He knew we were going to struggle with those things. He knows. So we talk about them. We don't rise up against those who speak the truth. In love, if you can do it in love, that's what we're called to do. You speak the truth of these things in love. Thank you, Jesus. Is that enough said, or should I keep going on that one? I'm gonna move on. There's no way I can give up on the 300 and go after the one. What do you want? No. For what's the purpose of everything we do is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, edifying the body. That's what our job is with each other. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't cut on those who do something different, who think different. Actually embrace them. You know what they might do? They might take you from here. They're coming from here. They might take you from here, and somehow you guys will come to a place of balance. That's what happens when brothers and sisters come together. They begin to share God's word with each other. It comes to a balance. We sharpen one another. That's what we're supposed to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. And we talked about until the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of this Christ. And this all happens. It's completed at the second coming. When Christ comes back, He's coming back to a church that's without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back to a church that's perfect. He's coming back to a spotless bride. That's what He's coming back to. So when we hear in the Word given earlier about a dead church, God forgive us. I don't want to be a part of a dead church. I want to be a part of a church that's alive. And the way a church becomes alive is by moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, exhibiting the gifts that He's given us. And the greatest of these gifts is love, love, love. If we can come to that place, we can change the world. I really believe it. It's a challenge for this body. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. It may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, who is Christ Jesus. We all have different gifts. We operate differently. We have different functions. That's by God's design. Don't get jealous or upset when somebody has a gift that you desire. Don't get upset or disgruntled when somebody has a different role or a position than what you have. We'll talk about that next week. He said, know that God is in this, and He knows what He's doing. He does it for families. And He does it for the church. Thank you. Third thing. How do we do this? We set aside the old man and we become like Christ. Why do I have to set aside the old man? Because I'm called to be whole, even as He is whole. So I have to set aside the Mike LeClaire who did not send out those emails to y'all. I have to be holy. I have to be separate and apart from what I used to be. And it does not happen overnight. In God's eyes, I am sealed. And I belong to Him. But my growth does not stop. I heard one of our pastors say, I am not perfect today. But I'm a whole lot better than I was 10 years ago. Right? That's my progress because I'm growing. And I'm growing in Him. That's what we're all supposed to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Set aside the old man. Verse 22 says, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. That's what we're to put on. And that does not happen overnight, like I said before. That is a growing process that we all go through. Don't judge people as to where they are in the timeline of Christ, as to where they are in the sanctification process. Don't judge them. Encourage them. Build them up. Bring them to where you are, if you are where you think you are. That's what I need to do. Last thing. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Therefore, putting away all lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Thank you, Jesus. Why lying? Why is that such a big deal? Because it's not God's language. It's Satan's language. He is a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning, and he is the father of lies. Why would we speak his language? Stop lying. God's language is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth. Speak truth. What other things come out of your mouth? They show who you are. They show the condition of your heart. Watch what you say. Why? Because when you use hurtful things, you're not speaking your Father's language. You're speaking the devil's language. Speak life to people. Encourage them. Build them up. In the faith. In the direction. Give an encouraging word. Sometimes you have to give a hard word. That's okay. Give a hard word, but in love. Speak God's language. It says, in verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. We're going to get angry. Why? Because we're imperfect people. We get angry. And our anger isn't righteous. Like Jesus had righteous indignation and righteous anger. We don't have that. Often. We don't have righteousness in us unless Christ be in us. And even then, we wrestle with our flesh. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place for the devil. When you are operating out of anger and you sin, you've given him a foothold, a place. Don't go to that place. Don't give him that foothold. It says, be angry, because we get angry because we're emotional people, and sin not. Wow, he's really working on us. When we do these things contrary to what I'm sharing with you right now, we begin to grieve the Holy Spirit. When we speak the enemy's language instead of the language of God. Then he moves to the hands. Ephesians 4:26 says, 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer. Why? Because it's the devil who steals. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. We don't do what he does. Why? Because he's not our Father. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. What do you do with the full life? Do you hoard it, keep it for yourself? No, you give it out. You love it out. You encourage it out. You take the gifts that he has given you, and you let those flow out of you. Out of the abundance of the heart speaks. I want my heart to speak peace. I want my heart to speak love. I want my heart to speak encouragement, edification, building up, moving one from here to here, that they can affect change in this world for the glory of God. If I could have the worship team come up here. In verse 30, I'm on verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Grace is another one of those beautiful gifts that God has given us. In verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The last way we grieve God, not always by what we say or what we do, but it's by what we believe. So if I can't come to the place where I rest in the blessed hope, rest in the knowledge that my salvation has been made secure, it has been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and nothing can snatch me away from that. And if I don't look for his return, and hopeful about his return, I believe these are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit and my belief patterns. And it's the same for you. Thank you for that, Jesus. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Remember last week, Pastor James talked about good works, coming after grace. What did God do? He poured out grace upon us so that we could do good works. Thank you, Jesus. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. I'm going to bring us back to victory. Whether we come from a place of brokenness or victory, understand that both occur, but we walk understanding our victory in Christ. The battle has been won by Christ, and we ought to walk in that. And that too is a process until the day of salvation, says in Philippians. Now, I'm going to just deviate for a second here. If you go to Crosswalk in this church, I'm going to have you stand up. If you're in Crosswalk or you're in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, stand up where you're at. Okay. Are there any high school kids here? Stand up right where you're at. No, keep standing. Keep standing. Are there any kids in Sparks or Cubbies or in Awana? Stand up. Now, if you were listening, I just want you to know that this message is for you as well. And that you have to do the same things that I just told your parents they have to do. And you are held responsible just as well for where you stand with Christ. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is God? Do you believe he loves you so much that he died for you? Do you believe that once you belong to him, nothing can take you away from him? Do you believe that the bad things that you have done, he can take away from you? Do you believe those things? If you do, you're held accountable to those responsibilities that he puts before you. You're to do good works too, because by grace he has saved you. Now, if you don't know anything about what I'm saying, you're still held accountable, but you're held accountable to your life. His desire is that you be saved from death eternally. His desire is that you be with him forever and ever and ever. What we're going to do is, at the end of the service, after we bless the men in this church, those young ones that want to receive Jesus, you come up and talk to the prayer warriors that are up here, the old people. And they will pray for you and lead you in that prayer. If you're a parent, I want you to look at the kid, your child that's standing up right now. If you're a parent, look at your child right now. And your job, because you're a church, right? Your job is to ask your kid where they stand with Christ. Use the language you know they understand. That's what I want you parents to do. And ask your kid where they stand with Jesus, if they want to receive them. And dads, if you're here, I want you to lead in that role. Don't be afraid to talk to your kid about Jesus. Amen? Amen. If you've met kids, you can sit down. Bet you wish they had Crosswalk today. Dad, you ought to be blessed in this day. Because I know what you're against. I know that people don't think you do your job. I know that your role is diminished on a cultural level, and even in a family level and in a church level. You can be diminished. So I'd like to bless you, along with the elders and the pastors. I'd like to bless you with just a simple little thing, but also with an anointing and a prayer. So I'm going to pray for the dads here. I have a gift for you. We go every year, every year or so. The women will get their gift next year. I have a gift for you, but the real gift is going to be the anointing prayer that Joe Seiler and Pastor Donnie Olson and I will put upon you. But the prayer is, Heavenly Father, I ask that you build up the dads and the granddads. You breathe life back into them and their role in Jesus' name, that would they walk worthy of the calling that you've put into them for their role. And that any weapon formed against them, any dart that comes against them from any venue, from any place, I come against it in Jesus' name. So men, take your shield of faith and reject them and hear the truth of the calling that was given to you. I come against guilt for every father in this place who made you feel that you dropped the ball because your kids went to a different place. They didn't go where you wanted them to go. They didn't do what you wanted them to do. They fell short. I come against guilt in Jesus' name. And I come to the Father and I say, there's still a chance. There's still time to speak life in your kid. There's still time to pray for them at a different level. There's still time to love them and the children that will come from them in Jesus' name. I love the dad in this church. And I want to bless you this day. So if the dads, if I could have Pastor Donnie come on, and Pastor Joel. Pastor Joel. Sorry about that. Joe Siler, if you'd come over by your area, I would appreciate that. Craig, I'm going to ask you to come up too. I want the dads to come forward. And all we're going to do is we're going to bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the role that God has given you. And He would bless you in that role. In Jesus' name. Amen. So,